Hundreds of audio recorders are about to be installed in regional Australia to create the country's first acoustic soundscape, which can give scientists important insights about different animals and their habitats. A team of academics from 13 universities has been tirelessly preparing the acoustic observatory that will be recording sound non-stop for years to come. But as reporter Sarah White found out, the next challenge is what to do with the hours upon hours of sound.
To the untrained ear, this might sound like any day on a farm. But to Associate Professor Paul McDonald, who researches animal behaviour, it's rich in information.
Well, you might see things like when do the insects start calling, for example. So when do you see cicadas kicking in? And that might be important if that might be linked to, say, temperature or rainfall, for example, or habitat productivity. There's a whole range of things that might govern when a particular species start to produce those vocalisations, and that will depend on the species.
This audio was recorded on the New England tablelands in northern New South Wales. It'll join hundreds of other recordings that are about to be taken from around Australia to produce the country's first audio soundscape.
Having the power to compress full 24 hours into one single image is really quite stunning the first time you see it, and opens up so many doors about how we can actually use these big picture data sets that are monitoring the whole country at the same time, and we can really start to tease apart those relationships of what's happening.
In this recording, Associate Professor McDonald says he can hear koalas, lorikeets, firebirds and fantails. But installing the audio soundscape has not been without its challenges for academics who hail from 13 universities.
It's a big project. We're talking about 300-400 sensors that we're going to be deploying, and it's quite challenging logistically. These sensors need to go in areas where we may only visit them once a year, and we need to make sure that they're going to be working when we're not there checking them.
The recordings will also be available online to anyone who wants to access them, allowing academics to listen to their chosen species from the comfort of their offices.
The good thing about sound too is it's you're not making a decision beforehand of what's interesting. So we're able to record all the audio, and if someone wants to look at a particular file for what frogs are doing, they can. But someone else might want to look at the same file and see what the actual birds are doing, for example.
Lynn Schwarzkopf is a professor of biology in Townsville and has been taking a specific interest in the sounds of frogs.
Before we had recordings, people went out into the field and listened to frogs and learned which frogs made which sounds and listened for them. Now, there's only a certain amount of time you can spend in the field. Even if you go in the field a lot, you're only going to get a few samples of, you know, maybe a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months, but that's all you're going to get.
The recording was taken from Harvey Range near Townsville at a small dam on a private cattle property.
Frogs, very kindly for us, for the acoustic observatory, call to each other when they're breeding. So male frogs call and female frogs respond and move towards the call. So what we'd like to know is, on a broad scale, what kind of effect are cane toads having on native frogs? Are they stopping them calling? Are they changing the way they call? Are they forcing them to use more energy to call? Just what are the impacts of cane toads on frogs? Because that's an area of research that's been neglected because no one's had the data to really look at it.
The acoustic soundscape will be available by early next year.
Sarah White reporting.